Let's make sure that history never forgets the name.
Sci-Fi Malady.
Got out.
So, Rage, what are we doing today?
We're actually doing a documentary.
We are? I thought we were watching the movie Contagion.
Oh, no. It's a documentary. It's about the current COVID pandemic.
I think you're getting confused again, Rage.
How so?
Because this was a movie from 2011.
Was it that or a documentary about today?
What? That's not how time works.
Well, okay, fine, granted, but think about it. Virus bat from bats born in China spreads to the U.S. Most people wouldn't follow precautions. Guns are involved. Conspiracy theorists lie to get clicks. Bogus cures are more popular than actual science. A high death toll, quarantines. Man, if this ain't a documentary about COVID, then what is it?
A really close approximation of what could happen. Sci-Fi Malady, Symptom 185. Contagion. Is it a film or a prophecy? Rage, are you saying that hydrochloroquine and ingesting Lysol are not real cures?
I am saying just that, yes.
What?
I know. Crazy. I know.
Listen.
But I'm gonna go out on a limb.
I drank an entire bottle of bleach and I never got COVID.
Yeah.
Sci-Fi Malady does not recommend drinking an entire bottle of bleach. You won't get COVID, but you will get death.
You know what I was gonna say about that? Well, yeah, killing yourself by bleach is a surefire cure against COVID or any disease for that matter. So you know what that reminds me of, Scott? Just the other day, I was listening to your Kids Aren't All Right quick rants about eating Tide Pods, and you had to make a disclaimer, do not eat Tide Pods, go eat food. You had to literally say, eat food.
Yeah.
I miss doing the rants.
The only thing stopping you is you. So.
Yeah, but that's my laziness and procrastination skill is formidable. You know how high of a saving throw I have to make to save against procrastination?
Well, I was, you know, after playing Warhammer today, I would say it's a what's called an impossible save of like 7+. So
it's back to back nat 20s. I got to roll back to back nat 20s to save against procrastination.
Yep.
I don't even know if that would do it, but
it's the best approximation we can figure.
Just remember my procrastination theory of the universe. No matter what issue you are facing, it will eventually resolve itself around you without you doing anything. You might not like the result, but whatever that problem in front of you is, it will resolve itself without you doing a thing.
That's terribly true, I guess. So welcome back, sickies.
This has been month. Scott's deep meaning.
Yeah, but don't follow Scott's deep meaning. But this is Malady March. We are doing kind of, okay, this is not meant to be crass, but the motivation for this is 1 year ago in this month is when the COVID pandemic hit the United States and when we started having to go on lockdown. So not to be tongue-in-cheek, not to be crass, but it just seemed an appropriate topic for the month. So Malady March, here we are. And we're
yay,
starting
off. It's been a year.
So
it's like the year that wasn't. It really is the year that wasn't. Like summer never happened, fall never happened.
I know, but
yeah.
It's just me, but I've enjoyed not having to drive to work. That's about the limit of it. I've enjoyed that.
I started going back into work 1 or 2 days a week again, starting this week, because I actually miss being around people occasionally and getting out of my house. So I'm kind of the opposite had on to. It.
And unfortunately, I have never been able to not go to work. So
yeah, I was about to go, Scott, freak! Anyway, so no, I understand, Scott, but so it seemed like appropriate to do this kind of a topic since we've never really covered it anyway, and it just seemed apropos. And going through these films, I'm reminded of the film Contagion. In fact, what's interesting about Contagion is that, in fact, let me just jump into the fun facts of this movie. One of them was that this movie came out in 2011 and wasn't all that successful. But after COVID started, everybody started watching it again because it was eerily familiar. Not in every aspect, but there were just certain things like the Chinese virus born of bats. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That was really on the nose.
Yeah, except in this movie, China actually helped. So.
Well, yeah, but you get the point. It was just how the start, the origin. In fact, the consultant of this film, Dr. Ian Lipkin, professor of epidemiology at Columbia University School of Public Health, said the virus in this film is one he created, and he based it on some traits of the virus from Malaysia in the late 90s, which spread from pigs to farmers. But so there's that kind of real hard science. Plus, in the magazine New Scientist, they say the Contagion doesn't skimp on the science, although it's by no means accurate and flawless. It's not a Nova documentary. It's well fact-checked for a Hollywood film compared to most science fiction-y blockbusters. So that is a nice little fun fact. Another one is that two of the actresses, Gwyneth Paltrow, she worked for a very little amount of money and filmed in 3 days, which 3 days seems a bit long for the paltry amount of time she was in the movie. But I guess she decided she was going to make all her money back from Goop products.
I was about to say, really? Do we want to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow?
Goop. Why? Why? Why?
Contagions and what she's trying to sell right now? Really?
Why? Part of it. She's part of that false cures. You know what? I jumped off one horse and I got on another. I'm going to go right back, but I can't. You falls in that category of bogus cures. Let's just put it out there and say what it is. But Kate Winslet, also the one that was the scientist that died, she filmed her role in just a few days as well. So, and I think the final fun fact I'll throw out there, was that the MUV1 virus was composed of bat and pig viral strains. And so that was a real kind of thing. It's near H1N1. And one thing I wish we had seen, one of the ways they advertised the film in Canada was they put fungus in a Petri dish and they put it in a movie theater window. And by after a few days, it spelled Contagion and had biohazard signs. So.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. I mean, it was fungus. No one was dying from it, but it was a neat idea all the same. So.
Got to give them credit for originality there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think someone might be I'll go through the plot here in a minute, but I think someone might be tempted to ask me, geez, Rage, isn't this like not science fiction? No, it is, even though the events that happen in it do kind of in some way get replicated with COVID and in other ways not. It is still a fictional situation. It's just much more what we would call hard science fiction. It's a lot more in that vein than say, I don't know, Resident Evil. I mean, Resident Evil is of course much more soft science fiction. So just because it's much more realistic doesn't mean it's not fiction. And this is fiction, even if it is getting quite a few things right or close. So,
yeah. And, you know, if we're not in science fiction this month, that's okay. We're right next door. This will be like one of those things where we did Fantasy February or, you know, I mean, sometimes we go right next door with our conversations.
And yeah. And that's what this is. So I guess I'll give the 1 minute plot and then we'll dive on in. So basically, and this movie's a little bit hard to follow at times because it does start on day one, but then it kind of bounces around a little bit.
But it starts basically, on day two.
It starts at day two? Oh, thank you. So Gwyneth Paltrow is a name Beth, and don't really get attached to this character much, but she's an exec at some company that's doing business in Hong Kong, and she comes back and she's sick. She comes back from her trip and she's sick. We later find out that what happened was her company was clearing out a forest. It disturbed some bats who went to a nearby pig farm and dropped some things, and pigs ate it, and the strain of bat and virus H1N1, pig and bat H1N1 mixed. Pig farmers brought it to cooks who got the pig blood all over them because apparently they don't believe in cleanliness at a casino in Hong Kong. And then this guy shook hands with Gwyneth Paltrow and she spread it to other people. And the next thing you know, this virus, she spreads it to a Ukrainian woman who goes back to the UK and dies. And then a Japanese guy who goes back to Tokyo and dies. The guy that picks her up at the airport in Minneapolis dies. And at first they don't know what it is, of course. And throughout the film, you basically see a few characters. Dr. Ellis Cheever, played by Lawrence Fishburne, is a member of the CDC. He's looking for a cure. Also have other Ali Eckstall. She's looking for a cure. It's just kind of like a whole smorgasbord of doctors looking for cures. But during this time, you have Jude Law playing a guy named Alan Krumwald, who is a conspiracy theorist who fakes getting the virus so he could promote some kind of, I don't know what it is, but some alternative medicinal cure. There's a run on that. Society breaks down. Matt Damon. Who happens to be Gwyneth Paltrow's husband. He is immune. And long story short, they eventually do manage to make a cure, but it just shows kind of society breaking down. And with the grand result being that everyone gets cured, but there's a lottery for it, for the vaccine. And in fact, one doctor with the World Health Organization, Dr. Leonard, she gets kidnapped by guy from a Chinese village because they think that she's going to be able to get vaccines for his village. And they wind up giving the guy placebos in exchange for her. The conspiracy theorist gets arrested for promoting bogus theories. It ends basically on kind of a high note of everybody getting vaccinated, getting back to normal, but a long road to go. So I think that's about covering it. So let's open the floor here, I guess, like I said, the science is pretty solid. These are things that would happen. So I guess we could just kind of open the floor to rips and picks and your favorite things.
Hold one sec. What's that buzzing noise?
Yeah.
It might be the fan of the computer.
It's your fan of the computer.
Yep.
Might not be anything I can do about it.
Okay.
Well, it sounds better now.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it. Sorry. All right. Where were we?
Yeah, I think I said something about... just go back to where I said, rips and picks. Because then, Thomas, you were the first one to say anything. But you were bringing up the noise.
Yeah. I guess one rip, I guess, of this would have to be that I did not like some of what happened. I mean, the conspiracy theory guy, them grabbing him off the street, that was creepy.
Yeah, I know, right?
Very disturbing, and somehow the one scene with the CDC was eerily similar to real life when we just kind of give the vaccine to family and stuff. You know, it's a little disturbing.
They can skip the lottery, yeah.
Yeah, but...
You know, we're probably, I'd say we're a good 12 to 18 months away in America before we just pick people up off the street and arrest them for spreading misinformation. But as of today, in the land of the free, we don't arrest people for spreading misinformation on the internet. Even if they are clueless anti-vaxxers who are putting people's lives at risk with their nonsense about vaccines causing things that they can't possibly cause. But yes, I didn't like the fact that we basically arrested a man because stupid people were listening to him.
I don't know. They didn't really get into why. Something about a civil suit. And because they don't really talk much about what the government's doing. The most you get in there about anything in a state apparatus is when one doctor, Kate Winslet's character, I really should have remembered the people. What is her name? Dr. Erin Mears, who incidentally dies, by the way. It's interesting that they killed her off, but she, when she is with the local city government of Minneapolis, there was the one woman who was just flat out, all she could think about is my power and how much is this going to cost me and who's going to pay for it. And that actually is, aside from being, yes, that's what would happen, you don't see too much about what the government's doing. Oh, you see a naval admiral, but as far as a Congress or the president, there's no mention even of just they're there. So we don't know if there's a state of emergency. We presume because the military's out defending vaccine shipments.
I think we were still at a time, and man, I'm not going to be able to keep this from being political, but we were still at a time where we didn't conceptually believe that the president of the United States would be out there leading the cries that there's nothing to worry about, the virus isn't real, and take this fake medicine that isn't medicine. We at this point in time, we didn't really believe that the president would be saying the stuff that your drunk uncle says in the bar at 11 p.m. on a Saturday. So I don't think they threw it in because it would have been shot down as being way too unrealistic and breaking suspension of disbelief to have the president out there saying, don't worry about the virus. This isn't real. People aren't dying from this.
True, but at the same time, it's clear that the focus of the film was on your average person and the doctors combating it. And that's why it's a bit strange to watch how they went after this conspiracy theorist, because as much, you know me, I hate conspiracy theorism with an undying passion. But I don't know. First of all, that couldn't have been the only guy peddling that. And second, I don't, as Thomas points out, how would they have just kind of ran and gotten him unless there was some weird state of emergency declared? But nothing like that is ever done in there, because as the point I'm getting at, there's really no, the government is such a minor point in this movie.
Well, everyone is supposed to be a stand-in except for the two or three characters that you're supposed to care about. And by the way, you said I should memorize these people's names, and man, I'm tipping my hand here, but I couldn't tell you one of their names. Morpheus is in here. Gwyneth Paltrow is in here. And Kate Winslet is in
here. Kate Winslet. Wait, you forgot. Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon and Matt Damon's kid. And, none of these characters are compelling or interesting enough for me to remember their name. But
some of them, a lot of them die off, and that's the point. You're not supposed to get him. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Chernobyl series that HBO did. But in Chernobyl, there was one scientist that was going around collecting all the data, and she was the stand-in for the multitude of scientists actually doing everything. Yep. And I think in this movie, they didn't want to do that. They wanted to show you know, in a pandemic, there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of actors.
Yeah, but every single person you see here represents a group of people. So right. Morpheus is representing the entire CDC.
Yeah. Well, him and Ali Hextall.
Not just that, but pretty much everything here is monolithics. I mean, somehow the U.S. government is all 100% this direction. There's no at all. China, every single world government is working together. Please.
Not really, because China wasn't getting anything. And France made it clear at the end when they tried to do the exchange for the WHO doctor. The guy was basically saying France can give you this stuff later. And so it was like there was hoarding going on. And so it's not like there was there wasn't any kind of like international kumbaya going on in this thing. Plus, I think for this film, we have to remember that unlike COVID, somehow this thing, MERV 1, was much worse. I mean, the death toll was in the millions in one country alone. As horrendous as COVID is, and I'm not going to denigrate that at all, it's not in the millions.
No, well, part of the reason it's not in the millions is the actions that we took. But at any rate, I think, yeah, I agree with you. But that changes what's going on in this film, the actual death toll.
Because this virus was, let's be honest, let's just take a moment and actually discuss the virus.
Sure.
This virus, within a day, which kind of makes this really, I'll get to this point in a sec, but within a day, you start showing symptoms and you basically die within a couple.
Yeah, or a day for that matter.
So really, within a few days, you're dead from this virus.
Mm-hmm.
So this virus is very lethal.
And it afflicts everybody thusly. There's only a handful of people who are immune, unlike COVID, where you or I could get it and...
be asymptomatic.
Yeah, and we get through it and okay. Or my wife who had COVID, she just had a bad cold for 2 or 3 days.
Right. But in this case, you get it. It seems to be a pretty much death sentence. And also... It seems contagious, but it also has a very, very small incubation.
Incubation
period.
Definitely.
Oh, it's got an R-naught of 4, and I mean that's crazy. But
yeah,
right. But I mean, it's like this is insanely crazy lethal virus that's going to kill anyone. But it also brings up the point that. Okay, with a crazy ability, COVID had the issue of you could catch COVID and not know it and also be spreading it. Also, the ability of it to take so long to incubate. This thing incubated so fast that you should be able to lock down.
Well, yeah, I mean, not early on, of course, but...
No, but I mean... Should have been able to lock down and kill this out, but it seemed not to, so.
Yeah, the problem is the film is out there, as I said, everything is a stand-in for something, and the film is also out there to show you how almost impossible it is to keep a pandemic from, or a deadly virus from escaping. And the belief that we can handle these viruses with quarantine and tracking and tracing is just that a myth, and I think the film is trying to make that point. The film was trying to show exactly how society would respond to a pandemic virus. Disbelief from the members who represent the government, the scientists trying to give you cold hard facts, the conspiracy theorists trying to say that it's all about making certain people money and it's all cooked up to keep the underclass down, and the average people just trying to find enough food and water to live. And then society realizing that when its government was helpless to protect them from this, taking matters into their own hands as they did in a lot of places. And every person you see is a stand-in for some whole element of society. And so that's why the film had to do some of these things that it did, which was to say, Even though this is a virus, as Thomas, as you said, in theory, you should be able to have a chance at quarantining. Like, you know, if there's an Ebola breakout, you've got a chance at quarantining that. But this, even though you're supposed to, it was going to show you that in reality, if you get something that spreads at this level and has this much of a reproduction rate, containment is not a valid strategy.
No, but in this case, quarantine and distancing and should have wiped this thing out pretty quick.
Yeah, except people didn't follow it. They followed it about as well as we followed it.
Oh, we've done pretty well.
In some cases.
The death toll comparatively, we would say we haven't.
Look, I'm just going to say that back in March when this thing started in April, I have friends who lost their mind because they couldn't start their softball seasons. Their tournament got canceled in April, and they lost their minds and were screaming and cursing people out on message boards and going nuts that they weren't going to be able to play softball. Or that they had to wear a mask while playing softball. So to say that we did this well, some segments of society did. Some segments of society absolutely did not handle this well.
I was speaking comparatively to the film. How about that?
Comparatively to the film, yes.
In fact, the film made a very interesting point about that. And it didn't, like many things in this film, it briefly touched upon it and kept moving because it was trying to cover the speed of the story, which worked for the story, by the way. This isn't a knock. But they're standing in the pharmacy trying to get that for Cynthia or whatever it was called, that not cure. And a guy kept hacking and hacking and hacking. And a woman said, please cover your mouth. And he was like, oh, screw you, lady. It's like, yeah, that's true. Covering your mouth has been taught to us since we were in kindergarten, since we were in preschool. And there's always some jerk that doesn't want to do that. That there's a difference between someone who just wasn't trained right, or maybe they couldn't react fast enough. And then there's that jerk who decides everyone gets to have my germs. And that was part of this process, and both in reality and because as someone who works in a at a job where I have to spray things down all the time as part of my job, I can assure you I've had to double clean stuff from because someone pulled their mask under their chin and decided to sneeze all over a surface. And it's like, really? Even before this, that wouldn't have been cool. So, I can't make heads or tails of that behavior, but the movie accurately depicted that briefly. But again, it was trying to show so much that it can only take snapshots.
Well, this film also did, I mean, this thing very briefly touched on a million different things at a million different times. I mean, it touched on corruption, it touched on suicide, it touched on lockdowns and the social distancing issues that would come up with missing things and losing time. It picked up on hoarding. It picked up on a million things briefly.
Okay, you're just going to have to remind me about the suicide part. I don't remember that.
His neighbor shot himself.
Oh! I thought that was a robbery.
You got Matt Damon's daughter upset that she's going to miss her prom, and he figures out how to give her a fake prom?
Yeah.
Well, but her boyfriend had a wristband on. He got vaccinated. That's why he was allowed in. But, oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. And I can tell you, boy, do I hear, I can't go to prom. That's your biggest concern right now? Really? I mean.
Hey, I didn't go to prom, but it might have been for a different reason.
It was definitely for a different reason. But the point is, I'm not going to lose my life because I didn't go to prom. Jeez.
Again, how old are you? This is the difference. We're talking about kids.
I would I wouldn't have cared when I was 18.
I didn't care when I was 18. I didn't go. I didn't think I missed anything.
I did. I don't care, but this is the point. Some people do.
Yeah, well, some people ought to know the difference between survivability of everyone else and a dance.
You know what? This is going to sound really, really, really cold, but there's going to be a lot of things that you really, really, really want to experience in life that you're not going to be able to. So maybe a lot of these kids who learned this year that they're not going to get to experience some of the things they've always looked forward to in their life have learned a very important life lesson that will serve them well down the road.
Wait. I can't experience being a billionaire? What?
I know. No!
Thomas, there may be even more important things. Like, people who have kids really, really, really look forward to seeing their child's first steps. And I'm going to guess a lot of people miss that. And you got to learn that as much as you look forward to it, you might be robbed of that experience.
No. Say it's not so.
Unbelievable.
And that life goes on. It goes on. It doesn't end.
No. Don't tell me things like that. You're breaking my sense of unrealistic expectations.
This has been Scott's Captain Obvious moment. Replacing deep meanings.
Captain Cold Obvious, more like it.
You know, what's really sad is that you need to actually teach that lesson to people in this day and age, because it's no longer just accepted as Captain Obvious's knowledge.
Yeah. Now, this film did somehow bring up the obvious points of life and creepily got a lot of this pretty accurate to what actually happened. Social distancing, you know. Yeah. 10 feet instead of 6 feet, bats. I mean, admittedly, because this is a film, everything A got settled nicely and everything also got done in a certain way. I mean, we know who Patient Zero is. We know all this stuff. We don't know everything about COVID. And honestly, we probably will never know.
I mean, yeah, there's always that unknown factor, sure.
I mean, we don't know who Patient Zero is. How about that?
No, that is very true. We do not know. We're pretty sure it originated in a wet market, but...
We're not even 100% sure on that either.
Yeah, so...
And can
right.
we... Yeah, I mean, the movie makes it real nice that you link it to this chef, you know, but... can we do a couple rips?
Yeah.
Go for it. I thought we've been doing rips and picks the whole time.
I already have done a couple rips.
But yeah, not right.
Oh, okay. Well, here, let me give a rip. The ending. It's the worst ending ever. I mean, they just kind of show people lining up for vaccines. Oh, great. Okay, we're lining up for vaccines. Here we go. The conspiracy guy gets arrested because he's the villain of the movie. In a movie where we have a killer virus, the conspiracy dude's the villain. And then we just end. We show some clips of a pig farm. And a pig not being slaughtered correctly because something from a bat got on it. And we show a chef taking time while he's cooking to not wash his hands and go shake Gwyneth Paltrow's hand for a photo op. And then we cut to the credits. Like, do we know how to end this? No! Montage and credits.
And it's a weird resolution, I'll grant you. But at least we can say there was a conflict. Unlike our... what was it? The Space Between Us, where the conflict was something. This movie, we could say the conflict was survival.
Yeah, but so I'll compare this to Outbreak. It's so much worse. It's such a pale copy of Outbreak because, one, I never feel like the plot is actually escalating. I never feel like... Yeah, it almost is a documentary. It's very dry. It's very PBS like. You get a little bit of drama thrown in about, you know, Morpheus and getting the vaccine to his wife, and he's not supposed, you know, cheating that way to get the vaccine to his wife and getting caught.
To get out of Chicago before it's quarantined.
Correct. You get a little bit of, you know, him giving his vaccine to that kid. And a little bit of that, but there should be fights. There should have been fights over fast tracking the vaccine? Is it safe to fast track the vaccine? Should have been fights over corn. You should have seen these arguments going on to build some drama. You should have seen a race for the cure. You should have seen time running out. You should have seen these types of in Outbreak. They did all of these things.
This probably isn't going to satiate you, but they did do a fight for food.
Yeah, they did a fight for food, but everything was. It's as if you want to. All right. Sometimes you get a. I'll use an analogy, and I'm not going to come up with a real good specific show off the top of my head, but sometimes you're looking for a history documentary in a certain period of time. World War One, World War Two, the Civil War, Revolutionary War, whatever. It's all war with me. But hey, that's where my mind goes because I like the military aspect of history.
Go on.
And you're looking for nitty gritty and you're looking for details and you get disappointed because it describes the Battle of Stalingrad in large, big brush strokes and gives you nothing that you wouldn't get out of a high school textbook. And that's boring. That's not what you want. And this movie is a high school textbook primer of society's reaction in a pandemic if they taught sociology in high school. There's nothing here. And there's no plot. There's no drama. There's no conflict. I couldn't even figure out, were they working for the vaccine or for the cure? And then they went to a vaccine, but they vaguely, quickly talked about the problems. Show some real drama of trying to get people in for stage one trials and stage two trials.
Well, I was about to bring up a problem I had with that. Right,
and then
now.
It just ends.
Well, yeah, but this is another thing that they did, which I have huge issues with. A, how did they grow the virus in the first place? Which, by the way, made no sense how you could grow the virus because it killed everything. Okay, we have ways of growing it without putting it in, but moving on. Someone was supposed to destroy the virus, but instead disobeyed and went rogue.
Yep.
The vaccine, instead of doing proper testing and doing actual tests, the doctor just injects herself with the vaccine? Sorry, what? And then that's accepted as that a test, and the vaccine gets rushed through. That does not work as a test, and that breaks so many rules. That what?
How about the most basic one? You don't have a control group. If you don't have a control group, your entire experiment is invalidated.
Yes, that's my. It's like this is where sometimes the science in this is decent. Other times it's off the wall crazy where you're going, wow, you managed to synthesize that really quickly and figure out everything about this virus instantly. You also recognize all these different virus patterns way too fast. But you're now telling me, yes, we're able to get a vaccine and grow this instantly and fast. But also we are scientists, so we know the proper procedures here. Why are we just jumping all the procedures? I mean, what?
Because the story needs it to.
Yeah. It's bad, though. I'm sorry, but when I saw the doctor inject herself, I was immediately like...
Really? Yeah, well, I thought what? That, too, because so are you gonna, like...
Expose yourself now?
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you can test if you're not going to get it now is expose yourself to the virus.
Yep. Well, plus the fact of, are you going to record that you did that? Or are you just going to walk around and hope to God it works? Because it worked in a monkey.
Yeah. And somehow it then gets approved from that. And also the CDC director is definitely losing his job after all the stuff he did.
Yeah. No, I will give... Okay, there's one point I suppose you could try to make here about the speed with which they went through this. If millions of people are dying and you have politicians who are, let's just say, less than competent at everything in life. So they would be the people that would just push and fast track anything out of desperation.
I mean, yeah, hey, if you can kill the virus on surfaces with Lysol, if you can drink the Lysol.
I mean, so that's fast-tracked a virus, a vaccine this time.
Well, there were some clinical tests, I guess.
We just accelerated phase one, phase two, and phase three trials. They still did all the trials they were supposed to do. They just shortened the term.
Right. But I'm just saying, in the case of millions, as this film's putting it out there, to see that kind of ridiculous fast track, and this would have been much better from a writing perspective if they had shown it. And that's where, Scott, I disagree. There is conflict. It's just not shown as nitty-gritty as you would like. But the example that they could have shown here was she injected herself. It worked. And then the president, some Congress, whomever, came out and said, great, make it now. Here's the money. And because, again, we're talking about politicians who understand very little about life except how to keep themselves in power. So they would just go with it, anything to stop this, or even for the ones that are compassionate, they might just be tempted to fast track it. So it's not inconceivable that that would happen, but you do have to question the science of, so what, one doctor is fine, so therefore we're just going to presume everything's perfect?
Yeah, so the government fast-tracking it, absolutely we would be fast-tracking a vaccine for that type of virus the way we fast-track this vaccine when something like this happens. Yes. Where you have a real problem with suspension of disbelief is when the scientists begin cutting corners like that and doing bad science.
Right. Yeah.
Also, here's another one. They start making the vaccine in secret production plants. I mean, that's not a secret. I'm sorry, but you're going to have security. There's only so many places that can make things like that. So good luck trying to hide that. And then, come on, people aren't going to backtrack it. It's no secret. Don't even try hiding it. That's just stupid. But yeah, and another nitpick there, but yeah.
No, I get that one. I get that one because it is a case of, hey, why one doctor does well with it, so let's just presume everything's fine. No one's going to come up and say, hey, that's a good promise, but we're just going with that and assuming everything's on the up and up.
Yeah, and I hate saying this, but the conspiracy theorist here actually does have a good point. What's the long-term effects?
Well, it couldn't be worse than just taking Forsythic because he has a camera and a personal philosophy.
Look, there may be long-term effects of any virus, any vaccine, you know, maybe not. But the problem is that you don't have 10 years to figure that out in this movie. To wait 10 years on a trial. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing, you know, just a rabbit hole this for 2 minutes here. You know, there's a lot of people out there probably with stage 4 cancer who would love to be able to try some of the experimental drugs that are in research that aren't into phase 1 or phase 2 trials. And, you know, people say, well, we can't do that. We don't know what the long-term repercussion is. It's probably not gonna be worse than death. I've always thought that if you're willing to sign all the waivers in the world, you should be able to have access to the experimental drugs that are currently not even in phase 1 trials. If I'm going to die, if you give me 60 days to live, I want to try whatever possibly is out there in a lab somewhere that someone's dreaming up. You tell me you've got nothing that can work for me, I want to try it.
I would say within limits, because there are experimental drugs out there that some of the side effects could be much worse. I mean, there's experiments being done with CRISPR. I'm sorry, but that could literally end the world if that ended wrong.
Yeah, CRISPR is also going to be eventually how we defeat cancer.
Yes, but if it's done properly, if it's done improperly, it could cause a pandemic.
For an example, okay, so I have Crohn's disease, and the way that they used to treat Crohn's disease was in general to shut my immune system off and give me a lot of steroids and anti-inflammatories with my immune system off. so that the immune system wouldn't attack my digestive tract. The way they treat it now is with an infusion that I get every 6 weeks that is targeted to only turn off my immune system within the GI tract where the intestines are. It's targeted to specific protein markers to have the immune system ignore those protein markers. And so that is an amazing advancement in medicine that wasn't available 20 years ago when I originally was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And so that's where medicine's going. And if you'd have asked me 20 years ago if I would have rather tried the biologic than have a foot and a half of my intestine cut out, I would have said yes. And as far as what's the side effect? Side effects are going to be worse than death. I'm still alive. And if they are worse than death, well, then we can get into the topic of euthanasia. But isn't going to be worse than being dead.
Well, yes, but there's also an interesting discussion that we could have with this film and mandatory vaccinations.
I'm all for them.
I'm down with that.
I'm not.
Yeah, in the end.
That because I've never gotten polio thanks to it.
I'm fine with vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Let me put that out there. I hate having to actually put that out there, but let me put that out there. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. So I think vaccines are good. They're helpful, very good. But there is a definite issue. And I mean, I believe it was after the Nuremberg Accords that said we will never again give someone any kind of anything into their body without their consent. And explicit consent.
Yeah, here's the thing. Vaccines only work if 70% of the country gets them. We're doing this full-out rush for the COVID vaccine, and we're not going to get 70% of the people to take the vaccine within the first year because they don't want to take it. And that means that we're going to continue to put populations at risk. We're going to continue to put it, and it's the people screaming the loudest about the poor small businesses that are going under and the service industry and the people that need jobs who don't want to get the vaccine. And every single time that if you have the opportunity to take the vaccine and you don't, then you're keeping us from that 70% number we need to ensure everybody. And at this point, it comes down to same thing with the measles. There's kids getting the measles again because there's parents out in Oregon who think that unpasteurized milk will keep their kids safe from the measles. And it doesn't. And then you put those kids at risk. And then you've got kids who medically couldn't get their vaccines who now are at risk of dying because of these mothers and fathers who think that if they feed their kids some herb they found in the backyard, that's better than medicine.
Oh, I agree with you.
So I think a person's right ends when that right puts other people at risk exercising it.
I get where you stand. I do. And I'm torn. My issue is that legally speaking, there's a question on this. It's a big question.
Yeah, laws can be changed.
Yes, but at this moment, mandatory vaccinations are not possible unless you want to go up there and claim. I'm trying to remember the law, but it has something to do with being able to choose for the medically retarded individuals, I believe. But the issue is there. So it is an issue. But
Here's the thing I have, and we're way off the movie and the science fiction podcast here, but here's the problem I have, is that the anti-vaxxer sentiment is growing. They're winning. They are winning at the moment. And that's why I almost feel like you need to take action to take the choice away from them before you put the whole country at risk.
That reminds me of a very funny anecdote from the website atomicrockets.com. And it's a website about rocket science for the layman. And there's a little anecdote they made up about a woman saying, "I'm not sure about vaccinations." And the doctor said, "Oh, well, okay, I understand that. Here's some literature that shows that research has proven that it's safe." And she kept going on and on about whatever Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop, Hollywood, whatever. And the doctor sat down at his computer. And he looked at the screen and said, "Oh, dear, this isn't good." And he looked at her and said, "You have to take the vaccine now. Oh, my system says you're not allowed to do science since you're incapable of doing it. You keep plugging your ears and ignoring me. So sit down because you're getting a vaccine." And it just reminds me of what, Scott, what you just told me reminds me of that anecdote.
As I was saying that, I remember you brought that up and I was thinking of that anecdote. I just couldn't remember it.
Yeah. I get that. But, you know, I'm not going to say what I was going to say now because I'll get us in trouble. But there is currently a war on science in a way. And yes, that is happening in the world right now. And I mean, even this film sort of touched on it. I mean, your conspiracy theorist guy, your villain, I agree, this movie did not have a villain, believes in that stuff and going off of it. And gets a bunch of people to follow it.
Maybe I find it villainous because he faked having the disease so he could push this force synth whatever, which begs the question, what money were you getting from that, Alan, that you were pushing it so much? Because why? What are you getting from pushing this? Because everyone else has an agenda, but not you.
Was he faking it?
Yeah, it turns out if you read the plot, it actually says he was faking it.
Okay. So it doesn't say it in the movie, does it?
That justifies the arrest under manipulation of securities, Price.
Yes, but it never said that in the movie.
No.
Ah.
See, they gave me Regeneron. I was
God
feeling
knows
bad.
Reason they didn't make him clear enough that was the case. Because when I was reading through this again,
that brings up a different problem. I have no problem with them arresting him then if he faked it. If he actually thought he had it and got over it by using this, that's a different thing.
The film never
brought that up.
No one would shill for a drug company during a pandemic. They gave me Regeneron. I was feeling pretty bad, and they gave me Regeneron, and I was feeling better than I did 20 years ago after some Regeneron. Everyone should get out there and get some Regeneron. I don't know who said that.
Yeah, but no,
it's Troy McClure.
I
sounded like Troy McClure.
Yeah, I don't like the film left that vague.
I agree. I guess you could have come to that conclusion, but as you said, it was vague, so you could have equally said no. Thomas, but it turns out he was faking it.
Thomas, I thought you stole my review, and then you continued to say left that vague.
Oh no!
I think that we've gotten since
we're off in the weeds now.
Yeah, off in the weeds now. But you know, this was related to the film, so it's not like we were. It's not like we started off talking about this film and then ended on our favorite flavor of ice cream. So. But with that, before we get into that position of talking about our favorite flavor of ice cream or why Mission Barbecue is the best barbecue place in Northeast Ohio, not getting paid by Mission Barbecue, but boy.
We will. If all sponsors who would like to be mentioned on the show, please send your email.
I will gladly take payment and brisket. anyway, let's rate this thing.
Yep.
How many inoculations do we give it?
Well, I'll start. Two. It's a boring film. It's very realistic, but I feel it lacks any drama, conflict. As I've said, the characters are so boring and without depth that I can't remember one of their names. I just remember them as the actor or actress that plays them. And then the movie just ends. It's probably technically well written. It's another ode to Spot. It's technically well written, but I wouldn't rewatch this film again if you paid me, unless you paid me like, you got to pay me at least $1,000 to watch this film again. It's just boring. There's nothing to it. It's as exciting as watching paint dry. Technically well applied paint, but it's a very dry, well written film. And to the listeners, if you can actually hear my niece yelling in the background, running through the halls of the house, it's just a glimpse of what hopefully 3 or 4 years in the future, every episode of Sci-Fi Melody will sound like.
I'll go next.
Go for it.
I'm debating between 2 and 3. And the reasons are, yes, this is a well-researched film. It's pretty accurate. It gets some science right. It's interesting at times. But it is slow, it is boring, and it is supposed to be entertaining in a movie. I'm sorry, I'm watching a movie. I'm supposed to be slightly entertained. If I'm watching a documentary, it's a different thing. I understand that. Documentaries are documentaries. This was supposed to be an entertaining movie. I can see why it flopped. Because it's not entertaining, and it's boring at times. At times, I was struggling to make it through this film. 2. I'm sorry. It's going to be a 2.
Okay. Maybe it's because I haven't I watched too many YouTube videos, but this reminded me of a very well done YouTube video. And for that reason, I give it a 6 or a 7. Sure, there was a conflict. Maybe it wasn't as done as well as Scott would have liked, but there was a conflict against the virus. And because this is trying to depict a more scattershot approach of all the moving parts, and you're trying to do it within 96 minutes, you really cannot get into the bickering and the arguing and all of that. You kind of just have to say, here's all the gears that are moving, and here's how it would move if we hyper-accelerated it. And the beginnings of this were very feasible. If anything, it's how COVID started. So I give it respect for that reason. I was never bored at any point in this movie. I did think to myself that they overstated things such as the looting and the raiding and the pillaging and the how come that doctor injected herself and no one seemed to notice except her dear old dad after she went to see him. And that stuff was what knocked the points off. But it wasn't enough to make me go, oh, Jesus sucks. So 6 or 7. But based on something Scott said earlier, next week's movie ought to make him more excited. We're going to be watching Outbreak, which is another one. It's more harder science fiction than what perhaps we're used to. But trust me, after that, we'll get into some more science fiction-y things. But what did you think of Contagion? Or if you want to give any of your opinions about Outbreak, what do you want to say about that? You can tell us at...
at ravinglunaticmedia.com, ravinglunaticmedia.com, ravinglunaticmedia.com. Ragemaster, what's left for them to do?
Stay sick, sickies.
So what I told you was true. From
Sci-Fi Malady
point of view.